We're going to do something a little bit different now. We're going to do a Father's Day panel. I'm going to get a couple of dads up. So if you guys want to come up and join me here on the stage. And then Ryan's going to share a few thoughts after that as well in there. So we thought it would be good to get together a bit of a cross-section of dads from our Good Life community and hear from them. You're up here. This is my dad, just for full disclosure. So I thought maybe the first question was, who's your favourite? No, I actually don't answer. I might not like the response. But we're going to ask a few different questions and so get to know them, but also hopefully encourage you as dads and hear a bit of their story. And maybe as a way to kick off, we'll just get each of them to introduce themselves. Maybe we'll start with Dad here up this end. So if you want to grab the mic off Richie there. There's just a, you'll see there's a picture of each of them with their family. So do you want to just introduce your family, Dad?
Yeah, there you go. Mike, married to Vivian, 50 years next year. And that's the product. So three amazing sons, three special daughters. They're not daughter-in-laws, they're daughters. And if I count the married ones, eight incredible grandchildren. Who are, for all those grandparents out there, I've got the best in the world. Sorry about that.
Over to you, Mike.
So, Mike Hardy, and this is my lovely wife, Teresa, and my daughter, Soraya, who was just dancing, and Jacob, who just turned six, so he's a little bit older than in that picture then, so, yeah.
That's
good, mate. Thank you.
Yeah, so that's Auntie and I. We've been married for 10 years. No, 11 years, I should correct myself, 2010. And we've got the eldest, Lou. She's about to turn five. And we've got Penelope there, or just Penny, rolling around as usual. And then the last one, Winslow, she's 5 months. So that's us.
Yeah, good. Thanks, guys. Beautiful families there, if I do say so myself. Hey, Richie, we might start with you, mate. Can you think back to that moment when you first held your first child in your hands? And what was that like? And what sort of, you know, were the emotions there? What was the sense and feeling you had?
Yeah, well, obviously, leading up to that moment, it was pretty hectic. So there was an element of relief there of just getting to that moment. But I think the overriding factor was just joy and love for Luya that, gazing down at her wrinkly little face and, holding her was just something that I'll never forget for sure.
Yeah. What about you, Mike?
Ooh. If I'm really honest, the first thought was, wow, they're really squashed up. But then it was this just amazing sense, just when I first picked her up, just overwhelming joy and emotion and, yeah, gratitude.
Yep. That's good. Do you remember back that far?
I'll tell you how far I go back. This is so different and so foreign to younger ones. You had to drop your wife off at the hospital and that's as far as you went. You couldn't go any further. So I didn't get the scene till a day or two later. But he's still pretty special, don't you reckon? Yeah.
A few years of therapy, I got over it. all good. Maybe start with you, Dad. If you think of the things that you learn now as a parent after walking through these years, and Mum and Dad having their 50th anniversary means my 50th is pretty close, just around the corner. But is there something you would tell yourself as a new dad back then that you've learnt on the journey now?
Yeah, that's a pretty easy one there. Spend more time with your kids. you're so consumed by work, and back then it was more a bit like survival, but I'd probably watch less telly and spend more time with the kids. And for all those parents out there now, less screen time, less other stuff, more time with your kids.
Love to hear from each of you.
And your wife.
Sorry, Viv.
I'm going to take that on board. I would say it might not turn out the way you think. When I was a young guy, I thought I was going to be married quite young and I was going to have kids very easily, and it didn't turn out that way. So I was married a little older and we had trouble having children, and so had to adjust those expectations. And I think when we just learn to let go and say it is what it is and be incredibly grateful, that kind of prepares you for the unexpected moments in life.
That's good. maybe actually hold on to it for a sec, Mike. You sort of talked about some of the challenges you had in having a child there, but you also, you and Teresa went through a different pathway as well to many of us in adoption. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what that was like from a perspective of a dad?
Yeah, well, for both our kids, our first one, science helped because we weren't able to have a child naturally, and so that was, again, an amazing thing. And then we weren't able to have any more, so we went on the adoption journey and we joined the Bernardo's program. And it took things you're kind of glad you don't know at the time because you might not make that choice, because it took so much longer in the process and it was a lot more challenging than we expected. But then at the same time, when that moment came where we got the phone call, Teresa rang me and said, "We've just heard the news. There's a little boy." Oh, gosh, it's hard to say it because he's sitting just over there. And they said, thanks, Rich. She said, "You're not going to believe it, but guess what his name is?" And I was just like crying straight away like this. And she said, "It's Jacob," which was the boy. If we had our own boy, naturally, we wanted to call the boy Jacob. So we just couldn't believe that little gift. It's been a lot more complicated and challenging, and the open adoption journey in Australia has got a lot of dynamics to it, but we're incredibly grateful for both the gift that he is to us, but that also we get to offer him for the life he has at the moment. So yeah.
That's so good. Thanks for sharing that, mate. Richie, what's something you would tell yourself as a sort of, if you from what you've learned now, what you can tell yourself back when you started the fatherhood journey?
Yeah, I think prior to having children, I had this belief that, Auntie and I were going to track along and do exactly the same thing as we were always going to do. And we'd take this little bundle of joy on everything that we were going to, you know, love doing at the time. I think it was just that realisation that there is a recalibration and there is change, but the change is awesome. And so just being open to that change and... allowing it to happen as it does with a new member of the family.
It's kind of a similar question, but is there one piece of advice you'd give to a new dad or someone who's about to have enter that journey? Is there something that comes to mind?
Well, I know that Mike did say less screen time, but for prospective fathers out there, it's definitely a lot more screen time. Definitely watch more Bluey and just get your head in the game about being a good dad. For those of you who don't know Bluey, it's all about a doggy family who has a great dad. And, in a similar vein to Mike, the dad just is so present with the children and so willing to, interrupt his day, whatever he's doing, to play with his children. It's actually been an inspiration for me. And so I think, that would be something that, for new fathers, invest in your children in that way.
Great. Mike, would you add anything different to that?
Well, that was pretty much what I was going to say, except the example illustration for me is when, my brain is very future orientated and I'm always thinking about the next thing I want to do and get done. And so sometimes hey, can you jump with me on the trampoline or can you play monster trucks with me in the backyard? And in my head, I'm going, and the moments when I say yes, I think I overestimate the impact because I was driving along in the car not long after one of those moments when Jacob just says from the back seat, "Hey, Dad, thanks for playing monster trucks with me." And they're like, wow, I almost ruined that moment, and I'm sure I've let many of them go. And so just practicing being fully present in that moment, like Richie said, yeah.
Yeah, great. Dad?
I guess when you get to my age, you become a bit more reflective, and just had turned 70 2 weeks ago, so we had all the family together. So that was like the special gift. That was the couldn't get a better birthday gift than having all the family together. But I think it's living a heritage and in with your family, and one that will last eternity. Because all you can do this side of eternity is impact the next generation. That's all you can do. So give it your best shot.
It's good. What about, start with you, Dad. What has being a dad given you a better appreciation or fresh understanding or insights when it comes to your relationship with your Heavenly Father?
Yeah, that's a good question because, we all go through times in our life where we just maybe question that. And there was a time in my life where I was just going through a bit of a challenging time. And then... And I had a chance to, with a good friend spoke into my life, and he used the analogy. He said, "Mike, I've seen you with your family. I know how much you love your family and how your kids." And I was probably questioning my relationship with my Heavenly Father. And he said, "I know how intense it is and how great it is, but just imagine this. The love your Heavenly Father has for you is greater than what you have for your kids and your family." And it broke something inside me. It really did. That was like one of those little defining moments in my life. And so our Heavenly Father loves us more intensely, more lovingly than anything you can imagine. That's how great that love is. And that's today's a good way of acknowledging that.
Yeah. Mike, what about you?
Yeah. I mean, I agree with all of that. I would say when I think about the relationship of God to myself and then to my children, I think of grace. I've often lived with a performance mentality of, if you know, I do all these things, then someone will be happy with me or proud of me. But to know that nothing I can do can make God say, "Yay, finally, you know, you've got it together," and that's exactly how I feel about my kids. And to be able to accept that for myself, in the way that I want my kids, they don't have to do anything for me to love them anymore. And how much more does God do that to us? So yeah.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah, for me, it's. Just seeing and understanding God as a God that doesn't want to control us, but just wants the best for us in all areas of our life. And so as a parent, to relinquish that control, to have to force my child to do a certain thing, to be a certain type of person, and just let them become who God's designed them to be. And so... yeah, there's discipline, but there's also a lot of freedom and a lot of mistakes and a lot of, just seeing, learning from situations. So trying to, let go more and allow them to live. And in those moments where I just want to reflex no, to stop and just realise, like, why am I saying no? Because I think that God's saying yes a lot of the time.
Yeah, that's good, mate. I always kind of find it kind of interesting that we had to get your driver's license now, you have to do, what is it, 100, I think it's going to 200 hours of supervised driving, and you have to sit a test and all that sort of stuff, but we're allowed to have kids just off the bat. The reality in that is that we kind of work it out as we go, and there's probably some things that we've wrestled with and some challenges. Would there be any challenges that you want to share and could share that, you've sort of walked as being a dad over the years?
Just being self-centered and, just choosing, what's right for the family, and for the children. And so, I think that's, continues to be a balancing act for me that, to align the priorities of the family and also some of my own desires and, working that all out.
Yeah. Is there any... might be putting you on the spot here, mate. Are there certain things that you've learned to do intentionally to actually realign it so you don't sort of drift down that? Because I reckon we can all put a hand up around the self-centeredness kind of factor.
Yeah, I think it's being honest with your spouse, your partner about what your needs are, and making time within the week or the month to for everyone to get what they need, and to not make excuses, not apologise for having, wanting to go surfing every now and then when the waves are good. just the balance of that. Sometimes the kids are going to be sick and you're going to be up all night, and there's going to be times where, their needs are going to, you're going to have to lay down your life for them. So
that's good, mate. Thank you.
I think there's so many challenges. And for me, it's similar to what I said before around learning to be fully present is one of the biggest challenges for me personally. And also managing my emotions and expectations around challenging dynamics that seem to be a bit out of my control. When there's behavioural challenges or there's certain dynamics going on where I think, oh man, I have no idea what to do in this situation. And I think, gosh, at my age, I should know what to do. And I'm literally saying, I don't know what to do in this situation. And realizing that's okay. And it's okay to ask for help and to say to someone else, hey, I'm struggling in an area. Can we chat about this?
That's good. Thanks, mate.
Thanks. Yeah, look, the one thing that I would, bit of advice we'll give there, is make great memories with your kids. Those memories are still talked about when you have a 70th birthday a couple of weeks ago. Just make great memories with your kids, because they read you like a book, and however you lead as a father or a parent, they're the values that they take forward into their next generation.
You know, it's not missed on me too that the way we see fatherhood, the way we see Father's Day, even the way we view our Heavenly Father can definitely be influenced by our own fathers. And there's some of you who, you know, Father's Day may bring up a whole bunch of mixed emotions when we talk about that. But for you guys, I was just wondering if, is there things from your childhood or the way your father was that have influenced how you parent now and how you're a dad now?
Yeah, I got preempted on the questions, and I knew when I was going to ask this one, answer this one, it's going to be a bit of a difficult one. In the sense, look, I had a good dad, but he never spent any time with me. He never said those three words that we all long to hear: "I love you, son." And so I guess what that made me was that I tell these kids, even when they're almost 50, how much I love them. I love you, Steve. And so it is a bit emotional when you get to this point, because you remember how your own dad and where you are right now. So what I did for me was I made sure I went to every sporting event. My dad came to one sporting event my whole life. And I remember sitting in the dressing rooms after a game, and the coach came and said, "Who's that little number 7 over there? He played his heart out. He's man of the match." That was me. Of course, my dad turned up to watch me play footy that day. So you do that with your kids.
That's great. Wow. That's kind of hard to talk after that. I think for a lot of us, we had dads who didn't know how to express their emotion, like what you were talking about. And my dad was one of those. And in his later years, he's probably said probably too many times out of his own sense of guilt, you know, "I'm sorry," and, you know, "I love you." And it's been rarer these days, but he also struggled to communicate that. One thing I'm also very similar to what you just said was he was a shift worker, so he couldn't often be at my sporting games. But when he did, I'll never forget this one particular day. I was playing out on a cricket field, and I turned around. I didn't know he was going to turn up, and he was standing on the sideline, and he just looked up and just put his thumbs up at me. And it was that moment of whoa, and I just got this wind in my sails, like, right, I'm going to be the best fielder ever, you know, like. And you just realise that the power of presence in your life. He wasn't giving me advice. He wasn't telling me to do better. He was just there, and he was proud of me, and I felt that feeling. And so I had a moment recently with my own son on the soccer field, and I've done the same with my daughter on the soccer field, where I'm very tempted to be like trying to tell them, do this, do that, you know, which is more about me wanting to win their game. And just that moment of remembering, you know, just be there. And yesterday, literally, it was pouring rain. Jacob's playing soccer in the rain, and I just looked at him, and I literally did what my dad did, and I go, "Jacob, awesome, buddy." And he just got this smile on his face that just wrecked me on the inside, but it was awesome.
My dad, he's got 5 children. I'm the middle of 5, and, so I just have so much respect for him, and now being a dad myself, that the way that he raised us. Always pretty low on the amount of words that he'd share with us, but I do really thank him even today for the example that he had. And I think that's just the way that even on the videos about demonstrating to your kids what it is to serve or to interact with people, that's what, you know, sticks with children. So he was a scientist, and always shared so much about the natural world with me. And so I continue to try to do that with my children, and that just ties in with his faith as well. My father's faith was very much built on his knowledge of the natural world and the way that it was created, and he loved God, so he passed that on to me. So
good. Yeah. A little bit off script one here, but and maybe just as a way of wrapping up our time in this part of the service. But what is one of the greatest joys for you in being a dad over the years that you have?
Yeah, yeah, it was firstly Luya, and that was, yeah, incredible having her. And then, having the second and third girl coming along, it's been watching the sibling relationships form. That just continues to day after day give me so much joy when they're kind to one another. When they're not, maybe a bit of pain it mixed in with it all. But, that's just, love those relationships blossoming.
For me, the greatest joy is when you see your kids doing something that they absolutely love, where they have that pure joy as a kid, and it sort of teaches you, I got to recapture that for myself. And for Jacob, that's, playing outside with his monster trucks or whatever he's doing. And for Soraya, she loves design, so she'll go into her brother's room and redesign his whole room, but just gets this incredible joy. It's like, she's on the block or something. And but we see that, and you just go, oh, gosh, amazing.
Okay, for you ones that haven't got to where I've got in my stage of life is, when you have grandkids, your love tank goes to a whole new level. it's hard to describe. So I love my kids, but when it comes to grandkids, they got me twisted around my little finger. And I love it. And I spoil them rotten. We spoil them rotten. No, I spoil them rotten. Vivian's telling me don't spoil them, but anyway, I don't care. It is what it is, but you love your grandkids.
Hey, thank you so much for taking the time to share those and for your vulnerability. And you can give them a really big hand. I think, thanks, guys. If I could just encourage you as dads out there today, you might be able to relate to some of those things you've heard, and you may not as well. But I just want to encourage you all today. Today, dads, we honour you. You have one of the most important roles, and parenting is probably the most important job you'll ever have on this earth, is to raise up a bunch of your kids or your kids to go on and impact the world and follow the call of God that they have on their lives. And there may be some of you here today that, and to the point that I made earlier, where you just can't rationalize this thought between a heavenly father and an earthly father. Could I just ask you to please know that the heavenly father is good, that he loves you. And you heard some of the guys talk about it here that just gave them a deeper appreciation for the love of the Father, because you look at the way you love your own kids and that God's love is so much greater than that. And I just really just want to ask that you consider that. If you haven't been on that journey and you're on that, the journey of faith today, that you have a Heavenly Father who loves you more than you could ever imagine. And he wants to see you fulfill the things he's put you on this earth for. So again, to the dads who are here, thank you so much. I really do appreciate you sharing. I'm going to hand over to one of the super dads, Mr. Ryan Smith.
Hey guys, how are you? I just want to read something and then I'm going to share just a few short words. But, Stephen spoke earlier from Philippians chapter 4. And I want to read from Philippians chapter 3, because what I want to talk about today is not just for dads, but it's what I've learned from my dad, right? And this is about how to go the distance, right? And my dad is, I'll share a little bit about him in a minute, but my dad has taught me how to be, I think, someone with endurance. I know you're looking at me and thinking that can't be true. But he has. He's taught me how to go the distance. And this is what it says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. It says, I want to know Christ, and I want to experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Right, there's an exclamation point after that. Like, this is how excited or how intense Paul is writing about this experience. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection. I think anybody who spends any time with any amount of people knows that perfection is not something we run into often. But I press on to possess the perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. I press on. I want to finish the race. I want to have the endurance to finish the race. This is my dad. Have a look at my dad. If you can bring up that first picture. This is my dad. His name's Micah. So we're going to learn how to go the distance with Micah. He's out there doing the thing that I love the most, catching rainbow trout, right? And he's wearing his cowboy hat. My dad was a bull rider when I was born, right? Let's go to that next picture. You see my dad when he's probably, I don't know, maybe 18 or 19 in this picture. But when I was born, he was 20, and he was a part of the junior pro rodeo circuit in our neck of the woods in Washington, Oregon, and Idaho. It was the Pendleton circuit. And so this is something that I grew up in. My dad was a bull rider, right? It doesn't get any more manly than bull riding. My dad's like the Christian version of Kevin Costner on Yellowstone. So this is my dad. One of the things I always remember my dad doing, right, was running, right? Some of my earliest memories are of my dad running. When he was in his early 20s, he would put on garbage bags and then his jumper and go for a run, right? I was like, why would you do that? That's crazy. And then when I was in the third grade, he invited me to go running with him, and we started running these races called Bloomsday in Spokane, Washington. It's about 7 miles. And he would say, Ryan, we're going to go and we're going to train for this race. Who loves running? Nobody. Right? The only thing I love about running is stopping. Right? That is like the best feeling in the world. But my dad just went from I guess in maybe his estimation, from glory to glory, right? From these small races, these 7 and 10 mile races, to something they call ultra marathons. Right? 30, 50K, 50 miles, 100 miles of running without stopping. I don't even like to drive to Brisbane, right? So there's this picture. It's not a great picture, but that's my dad in the yellow. One day he's like, hey, Ryan, do you want to go for a run with us? We're going to run from this place. We're going to park here, and we're going to run 30 miles through the mountains. And then we're going to grab another car and drive home. And I said, absolutely not. Absolutely. That's my brother on the right-hand side. I don't want you to think that's me. It's not. It's Jacob. But my dad's an ultra-marathoner, right? And he taught me to do these things. And I remember the last major race I ran with my dad was a 25K race along the Columbia River in my home state of Washington State. And it was great to do it with him. Right, he's had some injuries over the years to his hips and his knees, and so he doesn't run as much anymore. Mostly he bikes now. But he every day he's sending these videos to our family chat of the trails that he's running or the races that he's doing or the stuff that he's doing with my mom. He's just he's an inspiration to me. Like he's learned some things about what it means to go the distance. And my prayer today for us is not like just for dads, right? This is for anybody in this room who might be struggling in the season that we're in. Is like, what can I do like to maintain the endurance of the season that we're in? Because it's not easy, is it? Like, it's this thing that just kind of continues to drag on, and we don't see any light at the end of the tunnel when it comes to the pandemic or the worry of whether or not the virus is going to make it across the border, or when can I see my family again, or any of these things. When can we plan weddings again, right? Like all these things that come at us just don't seem to have an end date in mind. And I'm mindful that this is the space and the time that Paul is writing into this. Paul's in jail. Like this book of Philippians is the ultimate lockdown letter, right? Paul is in prison. And however you want to cut it, someone is controlling his movements and what he's able to do or not do, right? He may be under house arrest. He may be in a cell. We don't exactly know what it was like perfectly, but we know that there was a group of people or an authority that that was over him controlling who he could be. And what is the message of Philippians? Over and over and over again, it's joy and rejoice. And I think there's some things for us that if we want to learn to go the distance, that this can help us with. He's talking about pressing on towards the prize to finish the race. And there's three things that my dad taught me that I quickly want to get to today. And the first one is simply this. You got to learn to run in the lonely places. Right, Jesus often, in Luke chapter 5, you see where, I think it's in 5 verse 16, where it says, Jesus withdrew to the lonely places to pray. And my dad would often go running alone, right? He would take off, if he had to work something out, if he had to make a decision, he would just take off. I remember on a Wednesday night, it was a Wednesday afternoon, I was probably in grade 3, maybe grade 4, and my dad was a pastor of a church in Spokane, and nobody knew where he was. You know, church is coming. We did church on Wednesday night back in those days, and, you know, we had Royal Rangers and all these different things that were happening, and nobody knew where Micah was. And people started to get a little bit apprehensive about, where is he? Nobody can reach us before cell phones, right? And nobody knew where he was. And you know what? It was probably just before church started, he comes down off the mountain. He's like, I've just been out running and praying. Right? This is, my dad spent time going to these lonely places like Jesus to pray, to work out what was happening inside so that he could move forward in his life. And I think for us, if we're going to go the distance, we've got to learn to do this, to go to those places alone and wrestle out with God what's happening in our hearts, in our minds, in the things that we're thinking, how we're going to address the future. That first is done by spending time with God alone. The second thing is you've probably heard me say this, if you want to run fast, run alone. But if you want to run far, run together. My dad was always inviting people into these running relationships. And in fact, when I was a teenager, I knew I was in trouble if he said, hey, Ryan, get your shoes on, we're going for a run. Right, but he was always inviting people into this space of doing this. You see Jesus doing this as well. At the beginning of the Beatitudes, it talks about how he climbs a mountain and he invites his climbing companions with him. They were his disciples and people who were following him to hear the words that he had to say. These words were life and they were truth. If we want to go the distance, we have to learn to wrestle out what's happening in our hearts and in our lives alone with Jesus, but we also want to do this together in community. I loved the videos this morning about how it's all based around community and serving and being together and seeing the life that comes from that. If you want to run fast, run alone. But if you want to run far, run together. Let's invite people into this journey with us. And the last thing that my dad taught me about going the distance was something that I call relentless forward motion. This has often been my perspective of my dad. I was always behind him, always trying to keep up. He was always pushing me to go farther and to go faster and to go longer. I remember when he was pastoring, he invited me to come and be his youth pastor, and we would do morning devotions. It was awesome. We would do these devotions. And then one day, he says, we're going to start doing a staff meeting on top of this place called Badger Mountain, which was, I don't know, it was about a 30, 45-minute climb, and I was not in good shape, you guys. I know, that's a shocker. It's a shocker to you. I should show you some pictures of how big I was when my dad started doing that. I don't have them. I don't want to embarrass myself any further. But we would start doing it. I remember the first time we did it, you know, dad hits the trail, and one of our internship pastor at this church, he's my brother-in-law, Gareth, is behind me pushing me as we go up the mountain, right? Because I was done, right? But we did that every Wednesday, and I got to the point where I could make it to the top in about 17 minutes. I think it took me 45 minutes the first time I did it, right? And this is this idea. He would say, what do you do when you hit the wall? Right? I guess this is something that happens when you run marathons and ultra marathons as you hit the wall. I never run far enough to figure that out. Right? But he would say, when you hit the wall, you don't do anything. You just keep running. You just keep running. You just keep moving forward. You don't stop. Maybe your pace gets a little slower. Like maybe you slow down a lot, right? But you don't stop moving. And sometimes I think in our walk with God, we think that oh man, if I'm not achieving these like major mountaintop breakthrough moments on a regular basis, then I'm not a very good Christian. And I would say that sometimes slow growth is still growth, right? Sometimes the growth that we're experiencing in this season is something that you can't automatically see with your eyes in that moment. But see, here's the thing, is that Jesus invites us into a relationship with him, not a breakthrough conference. He says, press on towards the prize of finishing the race, right? He doesn't say win the race. He says finish the race. I've run so many races in my life with my dad and my family, and I've never won one of them. But you know the feeling of crossing the finish line? You know what they give you? They don't give you a participation medal. They give you a finisher's medal. I love that we have this culture that says participation medals don't mean anything. And I beg to differ. I think the finisher medal is maybe the best thing that I have ever received. Like, we press on towards the goal. What is that goal? It's to be more like Jesus. It's to live the life that Jesus has invited us into. To do all of the things that we heard today, whether we're a dad or not, from these guys that were up here. To be present. To love fully. To engage life to the maximum capacity that God has designed it for us. That we would be the people that God has designed and redeemed us to be. That we would go the distance. That we would be the body of Christ together. That we would not trip and fall. But when we do, because we're doing this in community, there's people there to invite us back into the race. Because our goal is to finish. Our goal is not necessarily to win. Our goal is to finish. To become like Christ, to press on towards that goal. Not that I've already done it. Man, there's so many things I'm getting better at. So many things. But I am pretty pumped today as a dad that by the end of service, all of my boys will be involved in today's service. That's probably the greatest Father's Day gift. Yeah, it's pretty cool. But I want to invite the worship team to come. And I'm so grateful for the youth team to come today. They're going to lead us in one more song. And I hope that you'll just take this moment to maybe reflect on where you're at in the race, right? Where you're at in this season of what it looks like to move forward and to keep pressing on. Maybe you need to go to some of those lonely places and work some things out with Jesus. To have your sails filled up again for that next part of the journey, or maybe it's that you need to invite others into the race or be invited into community today. Or maybe it's that you just need to know that maybe you just need to keep moving forward because the kingdom of God advances and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. There's a picture there, right, that I think is really powerful. Gates don't press on. They hold territory, but the kingdom is going to break those gates down. As we live, as we love, as we become more like Christ, we're going to love into this new season. So let's worship together.